Hi there, it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus. You may know me from my podcast called Wiser Than Me, where I talk to older women and get their wisdom from the front lines of life. I was amazed by how many people told me our show made them look forward to getting older, which is why I'm here to talk about season two of the show. Sally Field, Billie Jean King, Beverly Johnson, Ina Garten, Bonnie Raitt, just to name a few. All hail old women. Wiser Than Me season two is out now from Lemonada Media.
What's up, nerds? This is Just a Couple of Arslings, the Last Kingdom podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Jessica Toomer.
And I'm Alyssa Fixie. We are writers for Sci-Fi Wire's Fangirls who started recapping The Last Kingdom in season three, so we decided to bring that nerdy, horny energy to Podcastlandia.
Okay, guys, I'm pretty sure that we're magic.
Yeah, I think we might be witches, because...
I 100% agree. We have put some kind of spell or something out into the universe, and it has come back... And we've been rewarded for our ranting.
Yeah.
We
recorded our last podcast last night, and we talked about how frustrated we were with sort of the privilege afforded to the creators of Game of Thrones, David Benioff and D.B. Weiss. And literally this, like, I went on Twitter a few minutes after we recorded the podcast, and literally everyone was talking about how the fact that they were stepping away from Star Wars and
yes.
They still have a ton of Netflix projects, and apparently that was, like, too much for them. Like, they were too busy to do Star Wars.
So busy. They're so,
so busy,
guys.
But yeah, we were...
Thank the goddess.
Right.
That.
We were worried about them handling Star Wars and what they were going to do, but we don't have to worry about that anymore because we're witches.
We did this. So, like, let us know who you want us to take out next.
Right.
Because we have some kind of weird energy going on, and we need to harness it and use it to its full potential, I think.
Yeah. I think you're...
We have a responsibility to do good in this world.
I think
you're
right.
I think it's so funny to me. Just to think that... So, yes, they have a $200 million Netflix deal. So they're going to be doing a lot of projects for Netflix. And that's already in the can.
But they'll leave Star Wars alone.
But to leave Star Wars... Like, my thing is trying to pass it off as, oh, we're so busy, we just thought we'd give up Star Wars. Mm. Who the fuck
gives up Star Wars? Who gives up Star Wars?
I can't believe that it was all their decision to do that. Mm. Like, not coming on the heels of this panel and of how Game of Thrones ended, I feel like there were some conversations that were had.
Yeah.
And maybe it was decided by both parties that it was best to kind of step away.
Kathleen Kennedy reassessed. And
yeah, I mean, look, yeah. She hasn't always made the best decisions, but she's got to, you know, she's got to smell a fake when she sees it. And I think she's wised up to these guys.
Mm.
You know what? She's probably pissed off about Daenerys
right.
and her arc into the Mad Queen as well. So that's what you get for
right.
fucking your female characters.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, obviously we don't know how it all went down, but...
But I would like to think that I do.
Right. So yeah.
So yes.
No more Star Wars for them, and we'll see
who gets
to take this on instead of them.
Ugh, God, it has to be someone more deserving. I mean, the bar is so low.
It's in hell. so please, no more mediocre white men to take
no more
on.
Mediocre white men.
Take on Star Wars. Give it to somebody
new. Or we will attack.
Who knows how we'll use our power next?
our heads have gotten so big. We can do anything, okay?
Right.
So if you need us, again, if you need us to take on something, just let us know.
Right.
We've got some free time. So, yeah. So I guess, you know, we can skip over that. Really happy news and talk about it's Halloween right now. I guess, you know, when you guys hear this, it's going to be past Halloween, but who doesn't love talking about Halloween costumes?
Right. If Christmas can start, you know, in July when they start putting everything out for Christmas, Halloween can take a couple of extra days to be celebrated.
It deserves it because really Thanksgiving is the holiday I think we should just all skip. So let's
yeah.
just go straight from like Halloween to Christmas, I think.
Yeah, Thanksgiving is good, and I love Thanksgiving, but sometimes...
I mean, I like the food.
Right. It's, you know, That's the best part. You can skip over it.
But I could do without some of the family, the extended family, and just the kind of history of the holiday.
It gets dramatic.
It's a little murky.
Right, right. At a historical and a personal level, it gets a little
difficult. Too much. Yeah. Stressful. But Alyssa, you said you've got two costumes planned, and you're not a super big Halloween person. So
I'm not.
What's going on there?
You know, it just, I got lucky, I guess. And now, there's one of the bars downtown is having a Harry Potter themed bash on Thursday. So I have been assembling a pretty incredible Luna Lovegood outfit. I'm very excited about it. She is my Ravenclaw sister. So excited to go with House Pride there.
She has like the funnest look too.
I know.
Are you gonna wear like the quirky like glasses?
Oh,
like
yeah.
The kooky?
I got the glasses. Okay. I got the radish earrings. I'm going to get a couple of purple balloons tomorrow to be dirigible plums. Like I'm going all out.
Okay. I like it.
And then this weekend I'm going with some friends to like a corn maze / haunted forest, and I will be dressing up as grunge Carol Danvers, and I'm very excited about that too.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah.
That's a doable one too.
It is.
I feel like everyone's got some grunge Carol Danvers in their closet.
Exactly. All you had to do
if you're a 90s kid.
I mean, all I had to do really was get the Nine Inch Nails t-shirt. So that was it.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I'm worried about your safety in this corn maze.
You know, it'll be fine. I have no sense of direction, but if I have to like plow through the corn, I'll do it.
Guys, the next few episodes could be our last.
Right.
Alyssa might wind up
disappear
like
in just a corn maze.
Yeah, that like Stephen King in the tall grass kind of.
Oh yeah, there's that movie, that Netflix movie coming out of that.
It's already out.
Oh, is it? I haven't watched
Maybe
it.
Maybe don't watch it before you do.
I won't. This. I'll watch it after I survive the corn maze.
Yeah, and don't watch like Children of the Corn. Don't watch anything with corn
related.
Or fields.
Right. Yeah, agreed.
Hard ask, I know. I'm so lazy when it comes to Halloween costumes. My roommate is going to be Beetlejuice.
Nice.
She just loves that movie. So I'm going to help her like get into that. I'm going to do her makeup and her hair.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to be, I think her name is Grace. It's the bride in Ready or Not.
Oh, that'll be so awesome.
Yeah, like I've got a little thing of ammo that I'll wear and like a toy shotgun.
Yeah.
And then just like kind of like a wedding dress that I'm going to rip up and wear some like yellow chucks.
Yes.
So
oh my gosh, that'll be.
It just felt like the easiest and also like the coolest that I could do in this time span that I've given myself. So
yes. Oh, that movie was so good. That's going to be an amazing costume.
It?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Let me tell you though. So we went and saw that movie. And I don't know if this like stuck with you as much as it did me, but when spoiler alert, they, you know, play this game of hide and seek, but it's like deadly game of hide and seek.
Right.
And they put on this record of this old children's song, I guess.
It's super
like a hide and
creepy.
Seek song.
Super
so
creepy.
So fucking creepy. Mm-hmm. Okay. My roommate has like played that on repeat like every day since. Like there's
Yikes.
Not been a day that like she has not played it. And it scares
me. It might
be
time for a new roommate. That's upsetting.
No, she's the best, but she loves Halloween to a degree that I just can't understand.
Mm.
And so it's like we're you know, beginning, like we're in the process of moving. So she's like home and she's, you know, cleaning things out. And I just walk into a room and she's playing that fucking song.
Oh
I'm like,
God.
I'm out. She really loves that movie. But yeah, it's a lazy Halloween for me. I think if we do anything else, I've got some like wardrobe things that I can put together to be, Natasha Lyonne's character in Russian Doll. So
very cool.
That'll be comfortable.
Yeah.
I like to go for comfort.
Yeah. Neither of my costumes are particularly precarious in the comfort department. I want to wear comfortable shoes if I'm going to be, you know, hoofing it around a
walking
corn maze.
Yeah, no sexy handmade for me.
Oh,
thank you.
Oh, God. I've never been a sexy Halloween costume person. It's always been like a character that I like or something like cutesy stupid or like a joke or whatever. But it's
Yeah.
I've never been a sexy cat or anything like that.
Oh, no. I'm more sophisticated than that, okay? If I'm going to be dressing up as someone else as a 30-year-old and walking around corn mazes, it's not going to be in a sexy nurse costume.
It's just not.
It's just not.
The time for that has passed, but even when that was, you know, the appropriate outfit for my age, I was never a sexy nurse.
Hell no. Too much work. Too much work. Well, speaking of work, guys, they put in a lot of work this episode. What episode are we on?
Episode 8. It's the season finale of season 2.
Season finale. It has taken forever to get here because we've been through so much. but a lot of it has been good, so not complaining. But we still have more to get through because this episode just, it was a roller coaster.
It is. A lot happens in this episode and a lot. And it's, I think it sets the stage really well for the next season, too, and sort of the schisms that are starting to grow. And it's not great for a lot of people.
Yeah. A lot of relationships are changing. Mm. A lot of alliances that have been there since the beginning are kind of crumbling. And it all starts with, you know, Uhtred and Ethelred return with the price that's been demanded for Ethelfled and surprise, surprise, it's the entire wealth of Wessex.
Yeah, it's so, 3,000 pounds silver and 5,000 pound gold. That is not an insignificant amount of coin.
I mean, she's worth it. She's worth anything. But they don't have that. You know, it's they're basically paying for the army that's going to destroy them. And I think out of everyone, it's Otto who is just like, nah, like we cannot do this.
Yeah.
Like we're going to destroy ourselves by doing this.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he comes at it from an interesting point because he is someone who has literally sacrificed his son, his family line for the good of Wessex
right.
and for Alfred. And so to see Alfred struggle to do the same is probably pretty annoying.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I think Otto is, you know, he's sympathetic to Alfred's plight. Like, obviously, he knows that Ethelfled is of value and that she's loved by her father and her people and all that. But Otto is looking at it like, you know, I can't sacrifice my men to save her and then immediately send them out to battle again once they've raised this army. You know, it's not a practical approach, and it's certainly not a compassionate one to their people. Like, I get it. Ethelfled has a lot of value and deserves to be fought for, but that's a steep cost. Because it was really striking to me when you see, you know, you see them taxing the people to raise this money, and these peasants who have like nothing are having to give up their few coins to go and save a super wealthy, prominent woman. And it's very stark to see it laid out in such brutal terms, you know?
Yeah. So I mean, maybe I'm a little bit naive. I did not think that was how it was going to go down. Like, I just assumed, you know, we had this silver and gold in a vault somewhere and we were just going to open it and like take it out.
I'm sure there's some of that, but not that much.
Not enough.
You know?
It's too much.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, when you see those peasants being like lined up and people demanding that they give like a third
yeah.
of their money, that's significant.
Yeah.
You know? Especially for these people that are already struggling. It's just not a good look. And I think that really kind of strikes Otto, because if we remember back in earlier in season one, well, it was mid-season one, maybe, when they, you know, had that battle against Ubba, and he's talking to Uhtred, he is very concerned about the safety and the welfare of his men. He feels a connection to these people that he's in charge of. And so when he brings it to Alfred, he brings it from that point of view of saying, look at this guy. I'm bringing him in here. He's just lost his wife and his daughters. You're asking him for a third of his money. And then in 6 months, you're going to ask him for his life. I mean,
yeah.
It's just not fair. And I think that's where Alfred and Otto differ.
Otto is a man of the people.
He is. He is such a man of the people. And Alfred is not. I mean, he's a bigger picture kind of dude, and it makes it easier to, you know, kind of sacrifice these lives that he just can't see the value in. You know, mm-hmm. There's more value to him and Æthelflaed than there will ever be in his own people.
Right.
And I think that has really upset Otto this episode.
Well, you know, Alfred talks a lot about how it's all for the dignity of Wessex. It's all for the glory of Wessex. But what is Wessex without its people? You know what I mean? Mm. So you've got these peasants who are giving everything they have. They're sacrificing their money. They're sacrificing their bodies for the dignity of Wessex. But if nobody's there to benefit from that, then who cares? You know, what's the point if, you know, you can write down, oh, Alfred did this, Alfred did that in your history books. But if your people don't get to benefit from that, then why are you even bothering, you know?
Well, that's what, like, strikes me, too. And I feel like we're ragging on Alfred a lot. But it's just because, you know, for the past couple seasons, he's been positioned as this person that does have the bigger picture in mind and mm-hmm. is fighting for United England. And that's such a good cause. But honestly, if you boil down so many of his decisions, as righteous as he is about how he's all for Wessex, a lot of the things that he does are very selfish.
Sure.
And even approaching this, obviously he wants to save Æthelflaed because she's his daughter and he loves her.
Sure.
But the idea of her being taken on this tour of Daneland and, quote, men would pay to take their turn, which, yikes.
Yeah.
Like, he sees that as an affront to his reputation.
Right.
So, again, it goes back to him and how he will be remembered. It's just kind of skeevy. Like, it's – I get – if it were just because he loved Æthelflaed, I would respect it more. But I think there's
– he loves
part
his
of it
legacy.
Goes into him.
He loves his legacy more than he loves Æthelflaed, I think.
More than he loves anything.
Yeah.
And that's a problem.
Yeah. Yeah. And so there's that, you know, conflict going on. But it's not like things are any better for the Danes right now because, you know, Eric is skipping off to hang out with Æthelflaed and they're plotting their escape and it's all super cute. But then, you know, Heston starts to pick up on how much time they're spending together and begins to see that union as a threat to his money. And so... Because without Æthelflaed being, you know, parlayed back to her father, they are out, you know, hundreds of pounds of wealth. And so he sort of sees this as a, well, if they aren't here to be used as bargaining chips, then why am I even bothering? So he, you know, clues in Siegfried on what's going on. And then the brothers have a bit of a falling out.
Yeah, they have a little tiff. And honestly, Eric should have just let Æthelflaed kill him, like, you know, kill Heston when she had the chance.
Yeah.
It would have solved all of these problems. But, you know, unfortunately, I think, you know, young love, man.
Yeah.
It's blinding. And these two are just really concerned about, you know, escaping. And
she wants,
you know,
to teach
Æthelflaed
him to
wants
read.
To teach him his letters.
Oh, God.
It's so sweet. And they can't really see the kind of discontent that their, you know, alone time is stirring in his men. And
yeah,
Heston is like his jealousy is just so, oh, God, it's so creepy. But he's also a person that has the ear of powerful people.
Mm-hmm.
He's a person that knows how to take advantage of a situation. He's smarter than a lot of the warriors that they have. So he's able to kind of manipulate the dumber ones into being like, dude, like, what about your gold? Like, how do you feel about that? You
right.
know, so it makes sense that he's able to kind of easily and quickly sow doubt in Eric. And yeah, it's sad. It was sad to me, as much as I don't like Siegfried, it was sad to see them at odds because they have such a good bond. I mean, before Æthelflaed and before this whole kind of scheme to take over Wessex, you know, they were like, you know, risking it all for each other. They're
mm-hmm.
they're good brothers to each other. So it's sad to see that. But it's like Siegfried is just so kind of blinded by his ambition and Eric is blinded by his love. And those are just always going to be at odds.
Yeah. You know, part of me wonders how things would have shaken out if Eric had been honest about what he wanted with Æthelflaed to Siegfried. But I think you're right. I think Siegfried's ambition and Eric's love were always going to be sort of diametrically opposed because Æthelflaed is so important of a bargaining chip for, you know, Siegfried to use and to progress that it was never going to end well for this group and they were never going to be on the same page.
You have humped her enough. You have fed and washed her enough. Do not allow the man to see what I know for certain. You have grown too fond of her. It is not her ass you want. It is herself. It will pass.
You have shamed me.
What I have done is protect you.
Right. So, you know, now that Heston is kind of whispering in people's ears, Siegfried kind of clues in and he's like, oh, man, I don't want to lose this, you know, treasure that we're going to have. So he ends up, you know, putting Ethelfled in a cage, hanging her up in the hall so all the men can watch over her. It's all of their gold.
Yeah.
They all have a stake in it.
Right.
It makes total sense from his point of view. It sucks for Eric, who is just, like, strolling down the hall, like, so excited to see his bae. He's got this little smirk on his face, and then he realizes she's been taken from her, like, room and just freaks the fuck out. It's a sad moment, and you kind of get this feeling, you know, so their plan had been for Eric to, you know, get some of his most trusted men together. They would spirit her away in the night, like, just take her from her room because his guards are watching her. And Uhtred would come in through the river and kind of take out these guards of the ships, and then they'd get on a ship and just go away, you know, and that was the perfect plan. And of course, now this is ruined, and you just feel like the dread settle in your stomach because it's just not going to go well.
Yeah. And, you know, it sucks because of the limits in communication at the time, there was really no way for them to let Uhtred know, hey, this isn't going to work anymore. You can't send a text. He sent away their only messenger to, you know, send the initial note to Uhtred. And so they're kind of screwed, you know? Like, Uhtred, of course, was never going to just abandon Æthelflæd. And, you know, he has that moment in Cookham with Gisela where she, you know, she tells him that Alfred will definitely see this as a betrayal and they will have to leave, you know? They will have to abandon the life they've built in Wessex. But, you know, Æthelflæd had asked him for her help and he can't deny her, you know?
But what becomes of you? Of us. Alfred will see it as a betrayal. You will have broken your oath.
We leave.
Yeah, and I think Gisela knows that too.
Sure.
She's just wanting to.
She wants
kind
him
of reiterate,
to know,
like,
the
we've
got
to have a plan to get out.
Yeah. Like, she's, you know, she's on board. She'll, you know, support him in this decision, but she just wants to make sure that he knows exactly what it's going to cost him if this plan goes through. And it's a lot.
Sure.
It's a lot.
Yeah. And it's so interesting to see, so he's wrestling with that, and at the same time, Otto is wrestling with his own kind of betrayal that he's planning.
Yeah.
It's they walk parallel paths this episode, and I wish, you know, for just a moment they had, you know, trusted each other enough to tell each other their plans, because I feel like maybe they could have worked it out. I mean, maybe not. Maybe Otto would have been like, nah, like, I don't want to see a Saxon princess ship off with a Viking warrior. That's not a good look. You know, who knows how he would have responded. But he's kind of fighting this same war of, so Alfred has basically dismissed him from his service. And
he did it in such
a terrible way.
You no longer serve a purpose. Then with your permission, Lord, I shall return to my estate and my wife at Devonshire, whilst it is still a Saxon estate. That would be for the best.
I don't understand Alfred's inability to see the sacrifices that people make for him. Like, he does that with Uhtred. He does that with Otto. Like, Otto literally killed his son and ended his family line in favor of Alfred's plan. It's not like these are casual acquaintances or people that he can't trust to have his best interests in mind. But he still, if they don't 100% fall into line over what he thinks is right, he automatically dismisses them. And so,
yeah, he's becoming a bit of a tyrant, to be perfectly honest. Like,
yeah,
he's,
and, you know, he tells Otto to go home to Devonshire and, you know, he'll let him know if he's needed. But of course, Otto's not going to do that. Like, he is at his core a man of action. So he's going to raise the Devonshire Fyrd against Alfred's wishes and will sort of ride to war against these Northmen because they're starting to attack Wessex. It's not just about Æthelflaed anymore. And so he sort of sees it as his duty to like, well, if the king isn't going to take action, then I am.
Yeah. And of course, Æthelwald is there to, you know, much the same way Heston does, to kind of whisper seeds of doubt, kind of plant those seeds. He sees, you know, how he sees this kind of schism between Alfred and Odda. And so he goes to him and is like, you know what, if I had these men and I could raise an army, I would do it. And so to hear that from someone like Æthelwald, of course, Odda's going to be like, God, well, if this dude would do it, I need to do it.
Right.
So it only gives him, it gives him the final push. I think that was already in his mind. And it just sucks. I mean, it sucks that things have kind of deteriorated this much where he's drinking in a, like, a peasant's, like, pub and getting just, you know, white girl wasted over here and ends up having to be, like, babysitted by Baby Monk and...
Oh, Baby Monk and Clap on either side of him sleeping.
I mean, what the fuck would you do if you woke up in bed with this dude?
Right. That was an odd night for everybody, I think.
Yeah. I think you just drank more to make sure you forgot whatever happened.
Right.
He's kind of been humiliated in every way he can. And at the same time, he's like facing down this inevitable fact that, you know, Wessex is going to be destroyed. Like, they're paying for their own destruction. And so it makes sense that he would make this call, and he sends someone ahead so he can meet his guys on the road.
Yeah.
He sends Alfred's spy back on foot so
Father
that Pierre they can't
Leg.
Stop him.
Get out of here.
Yeah, poor Pierre Leg. He's a good man.
Yeah. Yeah, I like him.
Not a long walker.
No. But I will be the last person to throw
buddy.
That stone. I would not be great at a
your feet
Saxon,
would be blistered.
Yeah. Saxon methods of travel would not agree with me, I don't think.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like he's wearing like Dr. Scholl's comfy tennis shoes. Like, I'm sure he's like in bare bone sandals or something.
Right. A glorified slipper.
Yeah, basically. So he gets sent back to Alfred. Otto's got his plan going. And then Uhtred, because he has not gotten that change of plans text from Eric, is still like gung-ho on the river.
Mm-hmm.
They're waiting till nightfall to attack. There's more men, but it's like, what are you going to do? We're already here.
Yeah.
And I just want to like give a shout out to Uhtred because I know this dude is like so versed in battle and he's such a good warrior.
Mm-hmm.
But that whole thing of like breaking the reeds and using them to
genius.
Like breathe underwater.
Gene,
did Uhtred fit snorkeling?
He might have. I think he did.
I mean, is that where it came from?
Because I think
so. That was so smart.
You know, I feel like breaking these episodes down one by one like this has really shown, like, it really highlights, like, how much Uhtred grows and how he gets so much smarter as the series goes on. And, yeah, he invented snorkeling and weaponized snorkeling.
Yeah, that stealth water attack was just...
It was so good.
We've seen a lot of fighting and some battles. So it's always fun to, like, see a new kind of...
Sneaky.
Just to see a spin on it.
Yeah.
I like that kind of shit.
Yeah,
and
me too.
So, yeah, I was like, I was cheering him on this episode. I was like, dang. I was like,
yes,
I'm so
Uhtred.
I'm sorry for every bad thing I've said about you, because that's impressive.
I pray that when battle comes, I will not fail you.
As for the times, we're all afraid. Courage is finding the will to overcome your fear. Nothing more.
And then they take out the ship's guards. Poor Baby Monk really struggles with that.
Well, you know, he was afraid when they were leaving Cookham. You know, he told him up front, he's like, I'm not ready for this.
Dude, I'm scared.
I am scared. I am not skilled with a sword. And you could just, in that battle on the dock, you can just see it on his face. He's so afraid, but he doesn't want to be a coward, but he chooses the wrong path. And, you know, he overly stabs a dude who was basically dying anyway, and he gets really harshly rebuked by Uhtred and is like, no, don't do that. That's not your kill. And it was a rough introduction to the art of war for Osferth, and he's got a lot of growing to do.
He does. He's got a lot to learn. I mean, it felt realistic, though.
Sure.
This is a kid. He's been raised in a monastery. He would not just be some, you know, he wouldn't take to killing in the same way Uhtred would.
Oh, so, yeah. No, it made sense 100% for the character for him.
It's hard to watch.
I know. It was devastating because he's such a pure soul and he had a hard time.
He gets better, though, guys. So they, you know, they take the water, they take the docks, and no one comes.
Right.
And so, of course, Uhtred is like, look, we're here. This is about more than just, like, helping Eric and his plan. This is about saving Ethelflaed, mm-hmm. and we've got to do that. Like, we've already made it this far. They're going to notice that their guards are gone, like, dead at some point. And by then, you know, our element of surprise is going to be gone. If we do this, we have to do it now.
Well, Eric does come out and is like, hey, things are not going to work. This is bad.
Yeah. Once they decide to, like, go into the fortress,
right.
They, like, meet him in, like, the stables or wherever it is. And he's like, look, we've had a snag in the plan, guys, you know. But I think it's just so interesting to see him. To see him, like, Uhtred decide that, because it's such a ballsy move. Mm-hmm. And then to see the guys be like, they've argued against it. They're like, this is not smart.
Yeah. When Finan is like, hey, I think this would be unwise if we just threw ourselves into there. You know things are
Something's
bad.
Wrong.
Things are bad if Finan's like,
ugh. If Finan is telling you it's a bad idea.
It's a terrible idea.
we love Finan, but he's not.
He's not on board.
He's a reckless sort,
right.
I would say.
Yeah, yeah. So when your recklessness is outpaced Finan's, check your life. Look at your
check
life.
Check yourself.
Look at your
before
choices.
You wreck yourself.
Yeah.
yeah, so Eric lets them know, you know, the change in plans. And again, Uhtred, I mean, just strokes of genius left and right this episode is like, well, if we're going to get her out of that hall, we've got to get everyone else out of the hall
right.
first.
And they're and all so, in there, you know, getting shit-faced, drunk, because it's their last night to party before they have to go to war. And, you know, if you're prepping for a battle, you might as well ruin your body with alcohol. So, you know.
For sure.
It makes sense to me.
It's like St. Patrick's Day celebrations,
oh God, yeah.
like times 10.
Right.
Like, it's a lot.
And then you have to go to war instead of just your office job the next day. So,
right.
You know.
Yeah. The hangover is going to be rough.
Mm.
So they set fire to the fortress. Siegfried kind of sees it, and everyone rushes out to start trying to put out this fire, you know, because obviously the first thing you do when you see everything on fire is not what's happening. Is someone planning something? It's like, put this fire up before we burn to death.
Right.
So, you know, they take advantage of that kind of hysteria and that chaos and come in and try to rescue Ethelflaed. Of course, they send a decoy out because Uhtred also knows that, yeah, the fire's going to keep them busy. But if they see someone who looks like Ethelflaed,
they're going to follow
escaping her. Escaping the fortress,
yeah.
they're going to follow
She's
her.
She's the money.
Because that's
She's
their
the
money.
Gold.
Yeah. So they send a decoy in her place, and that, you know, takes care of Heston and a few of the other fighters for the time being. But while they're trying to get Ethelflaed out of the cage, Siegfried kind of wises up. He's like, where's my brother? I don't see him.
Yeah.
He goes back to the hall, and then shit gets real.
Eric, do not do this. Do not dare to do this.
Brother, please let me have this one chance. I cannot let her go.
She's her fortune. She's her reputation.
Yeah, you know, they're trying their best to get Ethelflaed out, but it's not enough. And then Siegfried shows up and, you know, he sees his brother basically betraying him in favor of this woman. And he kind of goes mad. Like, I would if my sister was, like, you know, betraying me while we were trying to take over the world. I'd probably not handle
like,
it very
you,
well.
Fuck you, sis!
But, yeah.
No, well, and he's doing it with this guy who has chopped off his
hand.
Hand.
Yes. I think having Uhtred there and having Eric working with Uhtred was just, it was the last bit of
Didn't
salt
help.
In the wound, you know? And
yeah.
So they fight and Siegfried stabs the shit out of him, and Eric dies, and it's devastating.
And Ethelflaed sees
Ethelflaed
it,
sees
and she whimpers
it.
While she's taken away, and it's just the worst,
it's
and
awful.
We knew it was coming.
I know, but it's so much worse to see it. And
it is.
So, yeah, and so Siegfried is, you know, he's angry at his brother, but he's still devastated, you know? Like, they were going to do this together, and he thought that his only option to still, you know, win was to kill his own brother. And that, mm-hmm. you know, takes a toll.
Yeah, it was really heartbreaking that their final moments together, just to see Siegfried kind of break down and be like, you did this, like you ruined this.
Us both. Yeah.
Yeah. It was brutal.
It's a heartbreaking moment.
The life of a Viking warrior is not one for me.
No.
I have to say, every episode really reaffirms my belief that I would not do well in this time period.
No. They, you know, Uhtred and his guys, they take Æthelflaed and they escape. Poor Klappa sacrifices himself to die while they're
the
getting
worst.
Away.
He's like Hodor holding the door.
Oh, God. Yep, that's exactly it. And they leave and they run into Adda's men and Alfred's men, who are, you know, bitching each other out when there's a Danish army that's in disarray not that far from them, but they're dealing with their own internal problems to take advantage of that moment.
Yeah, they're hashing out a little spat up on the hill while everything else burns around them. And so they get Æthelflaed there, and so she's good, and
Alfred and knows that it's Uhtred who saved her, which is you know, again.
Yeah, I'm sure that stings.
Yeah.
And Uhtred's like, Lord, like we've got them, their numbers are down, they're all like everything's in disarray. Like, now is the time to fight, to just quash this so you don't have to worry about this again.
Yeah.
And it takes Alfred hella long to raise that fucking shield wall. I was so annoyed with him.
Yeah. Well, Siegfried shows up. And he's, like, ready to die.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's his time.
Yeah.
He's declared it.
Yeah. But, yeah, the shield wall goes up, and Heston is like, I don't think this is for me. Like, I'm not getting paid for this, man. So, bye. This is not the overtime I agreed to.
Yeah. You got to pay me before I, like, do any work for you. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, first rule of freelance. So, he's out, and I think Siegfried could care less, because he's ready to go to Valhalla. Like, it's not been a good night for him.
No. No.
So they fight, you know, Alfred and his men. And
I will say this, for as outnumbered as they were, like, they broke that shield wall pretty immediately.
What that fight told me is that Otto was, like, completely right to worry about arming them, like, giving them that money to raise that army.
Yeah.
Because if this small faction could do something like that, imagine what, like, thousands of pounds of silver could buy the brothers. You know what I mean? It would have been just the worst.
Yes.
Like, there would have been no Wessex.
Hashtag Team Otto. He was right.
He was right. In the end, he was right.
Yep.
So, yeah, so they give him a run for their money, and even Uhtred is, you know, bleeding.
Down for the count
bleeding out
for
the mouth
bit.
And, yeah. You know, like, not looking good. And he's shouting Siegfried's name because he wants to distract him, because Siegfried is all about
Æthelflaed.
Getting to Æthelflaed. He sees her as the root cause of all of his problems.
Right.
So him and Uhtred kind of get dirty, get in the mud,
and
get down.
But
it's pretty rough.
Uhtred is not the one who gets the final kill.
Hell no, he's not.
Nope.
Because he doesn't deserve it.
He doesn't.
It's Æthelflaed.
Which kind of makes me frustrated. Not frustrated that she got the kill, but frustrated because, like, Uhtred jumped in to save Æthelred. So technically she, like, saved her husband, who's such a shithead. So it's like, I'm glad that she got the kill, but also, couldn't he have killed Æthelred first before?
Could we have let it go a little bit longer?
Right. You know? So, but no, yeah, she got the vengeance for the man that she loved, and it was devastating.
Yeah, and funny enough, like, looking, like, rewatching it, the way that Eric dies, which is, like, a knife to, like, the chest, is the same way that Siegfried dies.
Yeah.
And so it felt very, like, poetic in
symmetry.
That way that it was
narrative symmetry.
I know. The nerd in us is just, like, jumping up and down.
I was an English
major.
I love this shit. Like, he broke his brother's heart, and then she broke his.
She did his. Yeah.
So good.
Don't you ever find yourself, like, sometimes when you recognize these kind of payoffs and things, just wishing you were back in, like, an English class and the professor
all the time.
Was asking
all the time.
And you could raise your hand and be like, I know the answer.
Right, yeah, all the time, every day of my life.
It's so satisfying. I'm sorry. It's such a nerd thing, but I love it.
Yeah. I get
it. So, yeah. So it's very satisfying to see Ethelflaed kind of deal that final blow to Siegfried. Mm. And then we, you know, we kind of jump ahead a little bit and we see her and Uhtred share this moment when they're back in Winchester, where she tells him some very surprising news.
Is it that surprising?
It's not that surprising because they were probably humping like rabbits the entire time.
I love Eric, but he doesn't seem like a dude who'd be that concerned with birth control.
About birth control. So,
like, that's not the haircut of a man who's like, babe, we got to use a condom. You know, like,
got to be safe, babe.
So, yeah.
We're not in the financial situation to have a baby right now, babe.
We're not ready. but yeah, you know, she's like, you know, there's a pretty good chance that I am pregnant. And if I need you to get me out of this shitty situation with my husband, will you do it? And of course, Uhtred is like, yeah, like, obviously, don't you realize?
I guess.
Don't you realize how much I'm willing to put on the line for you and your shitty father? Like, come on. Obviously, I'll help you.
Yeah. So again, he makes it. He swears an oath.
Yeah.
I think I like this one much more than his oath to Alfred,
yeah.
But it's still swearing an oath. So, yeah. You know, Uhtred keeps binding himself to these people and to this kingdom. And it's like, I get why, you know, of course, I would not say no to Ethelflaed, but he just keeps putting himself in a tougher and tougher position. And then
Alfred is very quick to remind him of that. He's like, all right, you're free to go as my oath, man. Like, you'll be back,
fucker,
buddy.
Dude.
Yeah, it's
God, he's the worst.
I know. I struggle with Alfred every day.
But he's really deteriorated this season for me. I mean, he's gotten pretty unbearable towards the end of this season.
Yeah. And, you know, Athelwald, like, I didn't hate Athelwald this as much this time around. Like, obviously, he has his shit-stirring moments, but he helped out Odda in a rough spot, you know? Like, he brought him the knife so that he could, you know, sort of have his more honorable death. And, yeah, he died so his people would not be punished. And that is, it's a
baller move.
It is. And it's an appropriate way to go for a man who has done so much for his people.
Yeah, I think.
But it sucks. It sucks.
It's the worst. I mean, in Alfred and Otto, you see two different kinds of men. Mm-hmm. You know, Alfred is a big picture guy, but he could really care less about the little guy. And Otto's the complete opposite. And it just sucks that they were so at odds that even after all of this, because Alfred could have explained this away. He could have covered up some of the insubordination. No one really knew. Otto told his men that this is what Alfred wanted. So really, Exactly. No one knew. But Alfred just can't stomach people standing up to him and disobeying him. And that's the worst kind of betrayal you could ever make. And so he can't get over himself long enough to see that what his friend was doing was what was best for his country. Mm-hmm. It just sucks that it ends that way between them because they were, you know, such a good pair. And Otto is such a good dude. And I'm glad that he got to go out the way he wanted to go out. But I hope it really weighs on Alfred because, you know, he deserves to, like, not sleep over this.
Yeah, I wish Otto would haunt him like Jacob Marley style, like.
Ooh, yeah.
But unfortunately, that is not the case. But yeah, Uhtred rides off. Fate has made my sword Saxon, but I'm really a Dane. And I'm just like, man, you just need to be free of both of these people, you know?
Yeah, it's interesting. It's a good way to end this season, and it's also such an interesting way to start the next because none of these issues between him and Alfred have been resolved.
Yeah.
If anything, they're kind of just, like, sitting there stagnant, like, building up resentment and anger and just distrust. And so, like, it feels like a reset, but it also feels like, yeah, we're going to come into this, like, fresh season.
Right.
But we're still going to have some baggage.
It's going to be a rough go for everybody.
For sure. And I think it's good to move on to our next season wishes.
Yeah.
I always love when we change this up to next season wishes. It makes us feel so accomplished.
Yeah.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
It's time for our next season wishes. This is when we issue our demands for upcoming episodes or seasons, like the spoiled toddlers that we are. Here's what we want to see, when we want to see it, and why we won't be denied. Alyssa, what are you thinking is going to happen next season?
So, yeah, you know, we've got another season over. We did it. They did it. You know, a lot of people are still alive. And I think this season finale, you know, sort of leaves everybody in really interesting places. And I can't wait to see that play out. You know, like, Athelred knows exactly how terrible her husband is, but her time with Eric and with the Danes has left her a bit tougher to handle him. You know, like, she's seen what she can make it through. And after that, like, Athelred is, he's easily manipulated and gotten rid of. You know, like, Uhtred is beginning to lose faith in Alfred as a leader, and he's wondering why he's serving him. You know, Gisela still knows everything. Osfer still knows nothing. And these are, you know, these are all things that I can't wait to see developed. You know, I think this season ends with everybody sort of on the path towards change, and I can't wait to see what that is.
Yeah, seriously, where is that Paul Rudd meme when you need it?
Yeah.
Because we have done it.
It's so good.
it applies
Look
to every
us.
Situation in life. Look at us. Who would have thought?
Not me.
Honestly, it feels like this episode gave us a reset. I think anything really could happen next season. I think I'd like to see Uhtred make some moves to Bebbanburg.
Oh, girl.
I know that's like a pipe dream, but I'm going to hold on to it until it happens. God, what if the show ends with Uhtred never making it to Bebbanburg?
He doesn't make it to Bebbanburg for a long time in the books. Like, books on books on books, not to Bebbanburg.
I mean, I guess that's good for us because, like, maybe it means more and more seasons. But, like,
the show's kind of over when Uhtred makes it to Bebbanburg.
To Bebbanburg. But I just want to know that we will get there.
Right.
And right now that's not clear.
No.
So I'd love to see, you know, making some progress towards that. I don't think we're going to get there next season, but I'd like to make progress towards it. And I'd like for Alfred to get what's coming to him because, man, did he suck this season. And mostly I'd like to see, I think, Ethel fled flourish. Like, she's been through so much, and I want her to thrive. And I also, you know, want her to knock her piece of shit husband around with a piss bucket every now and then, because that would make me feel good. So,
yeah, I am on board. So The Last Kingdom has a massive cast of interesting characters, and nearly everyone gets their time to shine. Our arsling of the episode is the character who goes above and beyond to win the war or simply win our hearts. Jessica, who was your arsling this episode?
So it's going to be two. It has to be the power couple that is Eric and Ethel Fled. Sad. It's their last moments together. You know, they rolled with the punches. They survived being put in cages. They held on to that promise of young love for as long as they could. And, you know, Eric gave his life for her and she avenged his death. And really, sonnets should be written about their romance.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, it's Romeo and Juliet, medieval times, and I don't think we'll see anything like it again.
No, and it's Romeo and Juliet where they weren't dumb teenagers who accidentally killed themselves. It was like actual, there were real stakes here, and it was, it didn't end well for them. Yeah.
Yeah, it was more badass.
Right. But yeah, I couldn't agree more. But since you're giving them the shout out, I am going to pour one out for a real one, Otta. Yes. He's been a mainstay for both seasons, and few people have had the guts, you know, to truly stand up to Alfred when they think he's wrong. And Otta went out, you know, putting his people first until the end. And I think, you know, we talked about this a little bit, but I really do think Alfred will miss his council more than he knows, you know, because you can't just have yes men if you're going to be a successful king.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely going to be hurting next season without Otta, especially if you think of the people that he has left, which, I mean, who the fuck does
he have
left?
He's losing advisors very quickly and surrounding himself with weak men.
Like idiots. I mean, he's got Bioka over here, but Bioka's answer to anything is like, God will provide.
Right.
And then he's got Ethelred and Eldhelm over here who are just kind of conniving every chance they get. And
right.
They're both
and
idiots
there's
in their own special ways.
Who he doesn't trust anyway, so why? Yeah, it's a mess.
Yeah. Who do you got in your court, buddy? Not a lot. All right, guys, get ready to shame none the worst character of the episode with us. It doesn't matter if you're a Saxon or a Dane. Anyone can be a turd, and we're calling out the biggest one of the episode. So, Alyssa, who is your turd this week?
Well, we had a lot of options in this episode. A lot of bad behavior going around. But I'm going to go with Heston. Like, this guy, he traded in Eric and Ethelfled for the promise of a few pieces of silver, you know? You know, this guy doesn't care who he has to double cross in order to get his payday. And he's just, he's always going to be looking out for number one. So he is truly the cockroach of the Last Kingdom. And I know he'll be back and I will not be happy to see him.
Yeah, we have not seen the last of him.
No.
And that's such a sad thought.
Yeah.
I agree. Like, we had so many options. And for me, it's a toss-up because, you know, between Siegfried and Alfred. Because on the one hand, you know, this dude killed his brother for some silver. Like, that sucks. The other sacrificed his best friend for his own reputation. So that's pretty shitty, too.
Right.
And, you know, I think Siegfried, obviously, he's dead now. And he was a momentary annoyance. I think for me, Alfred continues to kind of ruin everything good around him. And his dig at Uhtred at the end of the episode,
awful.
His kind of righteousness over his reputation, and also the way he handled his friend. I mean, aside from even, you know, saying, I'm going to put you on trial and then we're going to kill you for being a traitor, the way he, like, dismissed him early in the episode where he said, you know, your injury and your appetite for wine have robbed us both of your worth. You no longer serve a purpose.
Like, yeah.
That's harsh.
That's way, way harsh, Ty. Like, that is awful.
Yeah. So I think if you're a king and if you want to be a good king, you have to recognize the value in people and reward it and give something back. I mean, it can't just be all about giving to you. And so Alfred has not learned that. And I hope he goes through some shit next season is all I'll say.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, this is clearly a very serious podcast about a very serious show, but sometimes it's nice to indulge in a little thirst. It's 2019, the world is on fire, and honestly, we deserve this. So this is our time to celebrate the thirstiest moments that really blew our skirts up this episode. Jessica, it's not a sexy episode.
Like, did we have any thirsty moments? I'm trying to think. No, I mean, there were wet moments. Like, we had that, like, sneak attack on the docks. But, like, I don't think that's the kind of wet we're looking for in this section.
No.
I think, like, possibly the hottest bit came, of course, with Eric when he's, like, strolling down that hall to see Ethelfled with that kind of satisfied smirk on his face. Mm. Like, that's hot AF, in my opinion. I think, like, I don't know, just their love and just how... I think he wised up, like, he was showing it too much. But before that, when he's just, like, so happy in his relationship and how he feels about her, that was pretty good.
Yeah, I get it. Question. Do you listen to Thirst Aid Kit, the podcast?
Oh my gosh, I have listened to a couple of episodes.
Okay.
And I also saw their call to Netflix to give them a show, and I would like to 100% support that call.
Yes, agreed. Turn their travels into an anthology show. But the reason I mentioned that is last week's episode was really good. They had Nicole Cliff on, who is always just...
Oh, yeah.
She's amazing.
Love.
And they talked about competency kink, where it's basically just the idea of like seeing somebody do something well is always hot, no matter what it is. And I feel that whenever these guys from Cook'em are like heading off into battle, I'm like, yes, they are all very capable, very good at what they do. And I like that. So,
and they know it.
Right.
They know that they're good. There's something in that too. It's like, ooh, yeah.
Yeah.
100%.
So I was, when I was watching this episode, I was like, damn, Bim and Nicole are correct.
Shout out to Thirst Aid Kit.
Thirst Aid Kit.
Called it again.
Go listen to them. They're amazing. But yeah, that's all I can think of whenever these guys are like heading off into battle is they know what they're doing. And I like somebody that knows what they're doing. So,
I mean, that's hit the nail on the head. I think that's completely right.
Mm.
I think it's safe to say that we have never been accused of being unenthusiastic in our fandom. We annoy our friends, our family, and now you, our devoted listeners. Welcome to Geek Out, where we will offer up our humble suggestions about what we think you should be watching and reading. Alyssa, I think our Geek Out is the same.
It is the same.
Because why would it not be?
Right. We are stoked to talk about the latest trailer for The Mandalorian.
The Mandalorian.
Mandalorian.
That's the theme song.
I wish. We should record it and send it to them and be like, hey, do this.
To Favreau.
Yeah.
Like, hey, buddy.
We have a
heard
great
you
idea.
A theme song.
Yeah. But yeah. This is the new show coming to Disney Plus, which launches in like mid-November, I think.
Yeah, I think it's mid-November for this one.
Yeah, and it stars Pedro Pascal, who I love, as a bounty hunter. And the show takes place a couple years after Return of the Jedi. So it's like after the fall of the Empire, but before the rise of the First Order. And
right.
It's basically, you know, a badass bounty hunter who looks like Boba Fett, but isn't Boba Fett. You know, scouring the galaxy.
He's Pedro Pascal.
He's Pedro Pascal. And I really hope he doesn't wear a helmet for the entirety of the show.
Oh, my God. Okay, I'm so glad you said that because every tease that we've seen, including this trailer, he's always in his helmet, which
right.
is very, like, it's such a good vibe. It's a very mysterious kind of, like, badass, like, vibe
right.
That they're going for with this show. And so I get it.
But also the irony
of Pedro Pascal.
I know. That's the thing. I'm like, finally, Pedro Pascal's wearing a helmet. That'll save his life. after he should have had
never
one
seen his beautiful face.
Game of Thrones. I know. But I'm like, he's so charismatic and so goddamn handsome. Like, I hope he's not just, you know, a silent presence under the helmet, because that would be a waste of Pedro Pascal. So
yeah, so go see the trailer because
it looks so,
cool. so
good.
It's...
And also Werner Herzog is doing the
what
voiceover
the
like what is
Legend.
Happening
who convinced him to do this
right like it's an odd choice, but it worked for me.
It worked. Yeah, I was so shocked and like surprised at how thoroughly I enjoyed his like voiceover in that trailer. It gave it like a bit of
gravity
like, again, like this is serious.
Yeah.
Like this isn't just like a fun little Disney Star Wars show. Like this is gonna be legit.
Yeah. Well, I know Taika Waititi's directing a couple of episodes, so like it's gonna be legit. It's gonna be
so
legit.
It's gonna be so good. It's gonna have some good humor in it. I hope that it borrows in tone from the first trilogy, and I kind of love that. So,
I'm really stoked. I think it's going to be exciting. And, like, I'm, you know, as we have so many different streaming service options kind of staring us down that are, like, even, like, not even the ones that we already have, but that are on the way, Disney Plus is probably the one where I'm like, yes, this is the one I'm getting. Like, I need to hear a little bit more good stuff about, like, Apple TV Plus before I'm going to pony up for that one, because I keep seeing I keep seeing the trailer for the morning show and I keep hearing Reese Witherspoon saying that she doesn't fit any mold, and I'm like,
really, Reese Witherspoon, beautiful, white, thin Reese Witherspoon. Like, I don't believe you.
The mold was modeled after you.
Right. So I
love
just,
you, girl, but come on.
Right. So that's when I'm holding off a bit until I hear better things. But Disney Plus is, they got me. They got me with Star Wars.
No, I've there haven't been really good reviews for any of the Apple TV shows.
Which is a shame.
It's a shame because I was excited about I still am. I'm going to watch it. I'm excited about Dickinson.
I know that's the one.
Emily Dickinson. Even, like, but come on.
I know that one looks fun if it was about anybody other than Emily Dickinson. But I just the purist in me is like, listen, she can be interesting without being like every other, you know, rebellious star of a teen show. You know what I mean?
True, and so true. Let her be depressed.
Right. Give us
let her be gothic.
Right. Give us our gothic introvert queen, please. But, you know, God. We'll see. I'm still I'm still, you know, I'm not saying no, but I'm saying not yet, I think.
Yeah. Agreed. And you know what? Disney Plus is coming not only with The Mandalorian, but it's coming with all of those
Disney Channel movies. Oh my gosh. I feel like we should do an episode about this or something. Yes, of something about Disney Channel movies. Yeah, 100%.
Agreed. Okay.
Brink is so good. Brink and Smart House. Those are the best.
Smart House. Oh, my God. Katie Segal.
Yes.
Playing a evil
house.
Like, high-tech.
Right.
Smart House. Who would have thought? Genius.
Right. She was like the Amazon Echo before the Amazon Echo.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, we'll have to do something about it because it's just so exciting.
Yeah, I'm stoked.
But, yeah, I definitely think put your money to Disney Plus first. For Mandalorian.
For The Mandalorian.
And for Disney Channel movies.
Right. All right, guys, if you want to hear more of our bullshitting, check us out on Twitter or over at Sci-Fi Wire Fangirls. We've got links to everything below this episode.
And until next time, destiny is all, bitches.